Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. So the Apostle Paul, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, has some awesome things to tell us. And please lend me your ears for the next little bit. I'll try and move as fast as I can, but we have some good stuff here to go over today together. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Verse 10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your will being done in this service this morning. Thank you that our ears are open and our hearts are open to receive the message that you have for us, Lord. Let us look aside from the messenger and let us receive the message that you have for us, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for your anointing. Thank you, Father God, that we're going to leave here refreshed and encouraged and ready to be about your business, and that our heart's desire will be to be more like you and less like ourselves, Lord, that we will be devoted to becoming that person, that individual that you would like us to be. And we love you and praise you. In the wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So we got this thing going on. In Galatians 6, 9, and 10, we have three avenues or three groups that God says be good. Three avenues or three groups, let's say three groups of people that God says, I want you to do good in these areas, or I want you to do good for these people. Number one, God is saying, look at your own life. Do an analysis. Like King David said, search my heart and see if there's any wickedness in me. So we have God saying, I want you to make good decisions in your own life. I want you to do the right thing. I want you to be devoted to allowing God to mature you. And then he goes on to say, I want you to do good for everybody. So that's everybody in your world. Your people at the work, people at school, people in your area, your cafe where you go and have a burrito every day, whatever. Your personal world. God says, do good to these people. Matter of fact, he says, look for an opportunity to do good to people. And then he goes on and he says, especially to the household of faith. So make good decisions for my own self. Do good in my own life. Do good for those around me. And then he says, Christian folks, especially Christian folks, I want you to do good. So that's the meat and potatoes of what we're talking about today. And if we notice at the very beginning of our text, the Apostle Paul, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, knowing how people are, he says, don't grow weary of doing good. Don't get tired of doing the right thing. Don't give up on doing the right thing. So as we're talking about our own personal life, sometimes we can get weary. Sometimes we can get so discouraged of waiting for God to do his part. What are you talking about, God doing his part? Let's look at our text again. Look, Galatians 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. So the picture is like gardening. The picture is like planting a plant. You got to turn up the ground. You got to put the seeds in, maybe a little chicken doo-doo, some sort of fertilizer. Put the dirt back on it, a little watering. You got to do your part is what I'm trying to say. That's what the Lord is saying. You do your part. You keep doing good, all right? And then there, like when you do planting or gardening or farming, there's a time and a place where you say, God, now it's your part. You got to do your part, God. You got to bring the seeds to life. You got to bring forth that harvest. You got to do the part that I can't do. So God says, you do your part and then be patient. Wait on me while I'm doing my part. And he says, if we don't give up, if we keep doing good, that we're going to reap a harvest in due season. So there is something for us to be excited about and to help us not grow tired or grow weary of doing good. Because sometimes we can, we get tired of trying to do the right thing. God says, don't get tired, man. Don't get tired. Matter of fact, grab a hold of this. It is going to be worth your while in the end. And you say, well, you know, we're Christian folk and we shouldn't be excited. We shouldn't be doing something to get a blessing. Well, no. Okay, so here's the deal, man. If God didn't want you to get fired up about receiving a harvest, he wouldn't tell you about a harvest. But he says, look, man, you do it. You keep doing the right thing, man. You keep making those hard decisions in your life. Say no to what you need to say no to. Say yes to what you need to say yes to. Let God bring you to that place of maturity. And there's all things in our own personal life that we need to work on. We're going to start right here. We're going to go all the way. No, I'm playing. Please forgive me. I'm just being silly. Please forgive me. We ain't got enough time in the rest of the year to do that. I'm playing. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. So anywho, what's going on? What are we talking about today? Talking about Jesus, man. Talking about he's going to do his part. He is going to bring forth a harvest. A good product is going to come out of you saying no to sin, yes to God. He says, do good. What's the opposite of good? Bad. Don't do bad. Don't do evil. Do good. Okay, so anyways, Isaiah 40. Look at Isaiah 40. It's right here, Isaiah 40, 30, and 31. Because the good Lord says, he says, don't grow weary. Don't give up on doing the right thing. Keep moving forward. Even if no one else is patting you on the back, man, that doesn't even matter. If those in your household aren't noticing the sacrifices you're trying to make, man, look, God is noticing. God is watching. And so, I mean, if we get down to brass tacks, whatever that really honestly means, but if we get down to the nittis and the grittis, the nitty and the gritty, if we get down, we're not here to please man, we're here to please God, you know? And so in reality, that's even talking about myself. But if I want to please God, if I want to do that right thing, I'm going to find true happiness, true joy by saying I'm going to serve God and not myself. Because when it's all about yourself, it's really not ever going to work out, you know? Okay, but moving forward, he says, don't grow weary. Don't get tired. Don't give up in doing the right thing. So here's one of the ways, real fast, because we got a little bit of ground to cover today. One of the ways how we can get our strength renewed or get our encouragement back, because sometimes the road is hard, the road is lonely, and sometimes you just say, man, it's just me. Well, it's not just you. No, Paul, it's just me. It's me against the world. You know, listen, it's not just you. Even if you perceive it that way, it's you and the creator of the universe, right? It's the one true sovereign God that says, man, I see what you're doing. Don't give up. Keep doing it. It's going to pay off. Okay, so Isaiah 40, 30, and 31. Even youths. Last week I had a lot of trouble saying that word. I practiced a little bit last night. Youths. Youths. All God's people said youths. Even youths shall faint and be weary. Even the people that you would expect to have plenty of energy, sometimes the world just takes you out, man, sweeps the leg, knocks you out, man. Even young people shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. Now look at verse 31. But they who wait for the Lord, or the NIV says those whose hope is in the Lord. The NLT, New Living Translation, says those that trust in the Lord. So it's not trusting in my own abilities, and we need to be confident in what we can do, but understand I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the Apostle Paul said, you know, that when I realize that I can't do it, there's strength in that. When I realize that I can't do it, I lean on the Most High God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, but they who wait for the Lord or trust in the Lord shall renew their strength. So there's strength in leaning on God. There's strength in saying, God, I want to do this. I want to stop this cycle of sin, repent, sin, repent, sin, repent in my life. I want to do the right thing. And he'll say, okay, when you draw near to me, I'm going to draw near to you. You're serious about this? I will be there. I will give you the strength to do it. Okay? So remember, the power of sin has been defeated in my life. What are you talking about there? I'm talking about when Jesus Christ died on the cross. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Looked a little something like this. I realize I'm a sinner. This is a place we all got to come to. Realize I'm a sinner. I've made a mistake. I can't get to heaven on my own because I'm not perfect. Heaven's a perfect place for perfect people, and that ain't none of us. So I realize I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I accept Jesus Christ as that Savior. I say, Jesus, you are the Son of God. You died for my sins and you rose from the dead. I believe you are the Son of God. I ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I mean that. I ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I ask him to be my Lord and Savior. Boom, at that moment in time, you have just been adopted into the most precious, amazing family in the world. You've been adopted into the family of God. So now God is your heavenly Father, okay? So what are we talking about? We're talking about God. We're talking about God being my heavenly Father, and I can do all things through him. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. So God is there to give me the strength I need to have. And do you ever get tired of doing the right thing? You ever get tired of feeling like, man, I keep doing this? I keep trying to do what the Bible says. I keep trying to, and then it just seems like I'm not getting anywhere. Hey, man, remember, don't grow weary in doing good. God will give you the strength, and you're going to reap an amazing harvest of maturity and provision. It's going to be worth it. Can I get a witness? But look at this verse right here. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. So God has the strength that I need. So when I find myself getting spiritually worn out, I'm running low on soul, cold, man, I'm just tired, physically tired, whatever, man. Lean on God. God can give us the strength. Look at Psalm 119, verse 11. Let's skip that one for a second. And let's go to Psalm 18. Right now, what we're talking about is if I'm growing weary, God is my source. If I'm growing weary, God is my source. He will give me the strength to keep going. So Psalm 18 and verse 1. Now, this is King David. This is the sweet psalmist of Israel. This is the guy who killed the giant when he was a little boy. This was the amazing king of Israel. And David, who was very emotional, but it's beautiful because he wrote the book of Psalms, he wrote a lot of the Psalms, a huge chunk of the Psalms. And so when we read the Psalms of David, we see how he was, sometimes, man, he'd be kind of like in a bad place mentally, you know? He'd be wore out, he'd be stressed out. But then we see in the Psalms how he started off like this, but then he gives his burden to God. And then he walks away with peace. Now, keep in mind that during the times when he's writing these particular Psalms, people are out trying to kill him. People are trying to destroy him. And by the time he's done with this Psalm or this song of praise or this prayer set to music, by the time he's done with that, he's still got King Saul trying to kill him. He's still got his son Absalom trying to kill him. He's still having to hide out in a cave or whatever. But as he's giving it to the Lord is giving him strength to carry on. So don't grow weary in doing good. Lean on the Most High God. Psalm 18 and verse 1. Listen to how sweet this is. I love you, O Lord. I love you, O Lord, my strength. David's got it. David understands. I love you, God. I love you, God. He loved you first, but I love you because you're so good to me. Yeah, why would I not love you? You've been so good to me. I love you, God. You are my strength. And David gets that, man. David gets that really, really good. Remember, this is the guy that was out in the field. Here comes a lion trying to get his lambs. David's like, not today, Satan. Nope. And he goes and he gets the lamb, you know, takes the lamb away from the lion. Kills the lion in the process. The bear comes and does it. All right, nah. David kills the bear. He knows, man, that a young kid does not have that ability to pry a mountain lion's jaws open to take the lamb, okay, and then take care of business. God gave him that strength. And see, it gradually goes up like this. Here's battle number one. Here's battle number two. Oh, now there's a bear taking my sheep. Well, you know what? God was there when I had the thing with the lion last week, so let's do this, you know? And then before too long, here's old David, young boy, man, young kid. And there's a giant, 10-foot tall dude, something like that, you know, big cat, big dude, mocking God, mocking the one true God. And David sees this, and David's like, nah, I got this. Because he knew his source was not in himself, but it was in relying in God. And that's where he got his strength to carry on, to do the impossible. So, and you say, well, sometimes to do good in my life with these entrenched situations or these strong towers in my life, these things that I've held on to my whole life that are just in the natural impossible for me to break through. Well, it's like that giant. It's like that lion. It's like that bear. But it's not impossible because God will give me the strength to say no to sin. Remember, Jesus Christ on the cross defeated the power of sin over my life. So what I was trying to say earlier is I can say no to the things I need to say no to through Jesus Christ. And you say, well, you don't know what it's like to be addicted. It's like, man, I do. I'm not going to tell you about it. But yeah, man, I got my battles, and I know the joy. I know the joy of saying, you know what? I'm going to say no to this, even though my body wants to partake in this, even though my heart wants to get involved in this. I'm going to say no to this, even though I've never done it before. I'm putting my foot down. I'm saying no to this, and then God will give me the strength. He will. He will give you the strength. And if you mess up, because we're going to do that, if you mess up, you dust yourself off. Like my old buddy Donnie used to say, sometimes you got to back up and regroup. And that's true, man. Sometimes we do drop that ball. But we ask God to forgive us and we move forward, man. And it's like it never happened. Look at Psalm 18 and verse 29. This is David, same psalm. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. So allow yourself mentally to get this picture in your mind, because David, the guy we're talking about right now, he was a warrior. He was a mighty warrior. So he knows what he's talking about, maybe even pulling back from past experience when he said, I've got to go through all these soldiers that have swords and want to kill me. I got to get through these guys, take a few of them out, anyone that gets in my way. I got to get through this group of soldiers, and then I got to get over that wall to get to the goodies or take care of business, do what I got to do. And he said, God's done that for me. God will give me the strength to do that. So we lean on God. When we feel that we're getting weary, we feel like we're being defeated, lean on God, trust in God. Matter of fact, look, I want you to look at Psalm 119 verse 11, because I want to get just a little more practical, a little more kindergarten with it. But this is where the joy is. This is where the victory is. Okay. So Psalm 119 verse 11, we have to prepare ourselves to not grow weary. Do you hear what I said? Stay with me for just a little while longer. We have to prepare ourselves to not get weary. You know what I mean? It's like when you go into work, you got to work outdoors all day. You're working construction. You get your nice, healthy lunch. You get your couple of them old Powerades, whatever. You got what you got to get through the day. What I'm trying to say is you prepare yourself because you know there's going to be situations that can steal your joy. You know that there's going to be situations where there's going to be temptations coming into your life that you need to say no to, right? Okay, so look at Psalm 119, verse 11. I have stored up your word in my heart. What's he talking about there? Getting into the old good book. Listening to some real good preaching. I mean, preaching, you know. Listening to the word of God is what I'm trying to say. Get the word of God into your heart. And that will strengthen you for when something comes out of nowhere and Satan tries to steal your joy because somebody said this or this happened or you just got this letter in the mail or your car's doing this all of a sudden. Instead of letting that ruin you or steal your joy, I've got God's word hidden in my heart to keep me focusing on what's truly important. I'm holding on to God's promises. Amen. Your word I've stored in my heart that I might not sin against you. Remember, it's about doing good today. It's about saying no to what I need to say no to, yes to what I need to say yes to. Let us go to the next slide. Two little verses there. We're talking about, we got these three groups of people. Number one, it's you. Number two, it's everybody. Number three, it's God's people or Christian folk. Okay, so we're still talking about myself. I want to be that person that God's called me to be. And that means letting God mature me. That means letting God have his way in me to be that person. So Galatians 5 and verse 24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus. Is that you? Is that you? I'm not saying that you're perfect. I'm not saying that you've never said a bad word or, you know, I'm not saying any of that. Never stolen anything from the Tom Thumb this morning. Well, that's a very good point. That's a very good point, my brother. Galatians 5:24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus, that's us, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So we understand the picture of crucifixion. The Galatian church, when they're receiving this information, they certainly, as a Roman province, they certainly understand what crucifixion looks like. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, if you're a Christian, you take these desires. What is the flesh? Well, the flesh is that part of you. The flesh is that part of you that wants to do things that it's not supposed to do. The flesh is the part of you that wants to be rebellious, wants to be a little naughty, wants to try and do a little bit of this, a little bit of that, when it ain't supposed to. But, and those who belong to Christ Jesus crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So they take these desires. We take these desires, whatever it might be, man. Man, I got a problem with gossiping. I got a problem with a little bit of lust, man. Well, a little bit of lust is going to turn into a big part of lust. You know, so these things, man, we got to take them, whatever it is, and we crucify it. We give it to the Lord. We like the good book says, we reckon it dead. Look at your neighbor and say, I reckon. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And sin is certainly joyful for a season. We know that. But God says, look, the time for you to get involved in that is long over. Don't let that stuff get a hold of you. Crucify it. Crucify it daily. Say, I will not do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Romans 8, verse 6. For to set the mind on the flesh, that part of you that wants to be rebellious, for to set the mind on the flesh is death. We got to kind of look at this thing kind of seriously. You know, take it kind of seriously. You know, it's not, well, you know, I've worked hard all day. Let me dabble a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You know, if in your heart you know it's something we shouldn't do, then we shouldn't do it, right? And God will help us. And you know, sometimes if you're like me, sometimes you got to, you know, say, God, give me the strength to not want to do this. Give me the desire to not want to mess around with this, you know, because I do, man. I really, really do. I want to do it. But I know in my heart that I shouldn't want to do it. So God, just let me see it the way you see it. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. Talking about that harvest, man. You know, if I don't give up, if I keep doing the right thing, or if I get up and dust myself off because I messed up and I move forward, there's going to be a harvest. It is going to bear some good fruit one day. So God says, get excited about the end result and keep serving me. He knows it's difficult. He knows it's hard, but he says, lean on me. Lean on me. Look at your neighbor and let's all join in. Lean on me. I did a funeral yesterday, and never mind. I'm not going to tell you about that. Okay, I'll tell you. A lady got up to talk. I said, anybody want to talk about the person or whatever? And this lady gets up, and she sings beautifully. She sings so beautifully. Am I saying that right? She sang so pretty. And I thought to myself, boy, I sure wish I sang beautifully, but I do not. Anyways, now that I've wasted 30 seconds of your life that you'll never get back, let's go to the next slide. Lean on me. I can't sing it. Okay, so Galatians 6 and verse 10. So then, as we have opportunity, we're moving down the list, okay? I want to do good in my own life. I want to do good in my life for myself. I want to allow God to mature me, okay? I want to keep myself out of a lot of unnecessary pain from being rebellious. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. So let us do good to everyone. Now, this is a big old category right here. We've been talking about just me, myself, and Irene, but now we're talking about this big group of everybody in my little world, man, the people that I come in contact with. Okay, but see, check this out. Mark 12 and verse 31. One time, look at your neighbors. No, never mind. Did y'all hear that? Okay, so look, man, Jesus was asked, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" And he says, I'm paraphrasing, but he says, "I'll give you two." And he says, "I'll give you two," because you can't have one without the other. You can't have one without the other. He's not saying number one is greater than number two. It's true. But what he's saying is you got to have one, and you can't have one without the other. So these greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. That's the first one. Love God more than anything else. Well, that's a doozy right there, man. That's a lifelong process. But see, we got to be devoted to that, you know, putting God above everything else. Yeah. But see, he says this, the second is this. Keep in mind, he's not saying the second is lesser than the first, but I believe what he's saying is you can't do the second until you get serious about doing the first. The more you love God, the more you're going to be able to do this commandment right here. Because the more I love God, the more I'm going to want to do the right thing and put my flesh down. So Mark 12 and verse 31, the second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. How about them apples, man? And it's not just talking about the person that lives right beside you. They're in on that too. The people in your world, man. Those that are around you. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And this is with the assumption that you love yourself. I don't love myself. Okay, well, let me ask you this. When you're thirsty and you're parched and you're dehydrated, do you get yourself a swig of ice cold Diet Coca-Cola Classic Zero? Do you have some water or something like that because you're thirsty? Do you, when your belly's grumbling, and do you put something in it? Yeah, we do, because we want to take care of ourselves, so whatever. Moving forward, God says, love your neighbor like you love yourself. That is a huge thing. But see, this is what separates us from the rest of the world. And I'm not saying that people that don't go to church, I'm not saying that people are not Christians, I'm not saying there's not decent people out there that want to help other people out. I'm not saying that doesn't exist. But I'm saying this is actually a commandment that Jesus Christ, your Savior, Jesus Christ, is pretty much giving us an order. He's saying, look, I want you to love your neighbor as you love yourself. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Love God, love your neighbor. Talking about doing good to everyone. Hebrews 13 and verse 16. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. What about that? That's pretty hardcore, ain't it? Do not neglect to do good. That's what we're talking about, doing good to everybody. Do not neglect to do good and to share with what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. When you are putting somebody else in front of you, when you're saying, I want to be a blessing to somebody else, and that's difficult to do sometimes, But God says, that's pleasing to me. That's pleasing to God when you go the extra mile to be a blessing to someone else. Look at Proverbs 11:25. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched. So remember what we've been talking about this morning. Do good. Don't get tired of doing good. And in due season, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Well, I think the best way that I can answer that, if I'm understanding you correctly, is the more you fall in love with God, or the more you decide that you want to be devoted to God, it does become to where it's less of you and more of being more Christ-like, if that makes sense. To where I want to please God, and so I set out to do good, to bless people, to be obedient to that. And yeah, you do kind of lose that old person and you become more Christ-like, if that makes sense. So that's how I'd answer that. But where are we at right here? Okay, so Philippians 2 and verse 4, let each of you look not only to his own interests. God's not saying, he's not saying forget about yourself. He's not saying forget about your kids, but he's saying look at other people as well. Look at other people in your community. See what you can do. And sometimes you can't do a whole heck of a lot financially or something like that, but you can always do something. You can always do something. Okay? So what can I do? What about encouraging somebody, giving someone an encouraging word? Okay? And you know, it says, look for opportunities. Our text says, look for opportunities. So then as we have opportunity. So be open to opportunities. And I would even encourage you to pray for an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody, to pray for somebody, to encourage somebody, give them a word of encouragement, give them the scripture. There's power in that stuff. You know, there's power in that. We want to be there for other people. In other words, we want God's life to shine through us. We want people to see the love of Jesus and how we treat other people. And man, we have all kinds of opportunities to mess that up. You know, we're busy, we're focusing on what we got to do or whatever. But sometimes we miss opportunities. Sometimes we miss opportunities when we can really change somebody's day and just plant a little seed of optimism. Show them the love of Jesus. Amen. Now look at this. Proverbs 11:25, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. So that's talking about that harvest. Don't give up. You'll reap a harvest. But look at Luke 6:35. I know I've got a lot of verses today. I know we got a lot of verses today, but this one right here, try and remember this one. I'm not saying memorize it, but kind of let this thing sink in a little bit. You know, because we're talking about doing good to everyone. And not everybody's easy to do good to, you know. Not everybody is really, really easy to get along with. Matter of fact, this goes right to the nerve right here. Look, Luke 6:35, but love your enemies. Love your enemies. Yeah, everybody say, ooh. Love your enemies. That's a hardcore statement. Remember we talked about those two greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Then love your neighbor as yourself. The more I love God, the more I'm going to be able to do these things or have the desire to even do it. And we can't say, look, Paul, I can't love my enemy. I cannot pray for my enemy. I know you can't. I can't. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If there's people that were able to forgive and be a blessing to their tormentors, like Corrie ten Boom, you know, who was in the German concentration camp and was able to forgive those that made her life miserable, those that got joy out of tormenting her and were there to persecute people and to bring people misery and to basically kill people, you know? But if she was able to forgive people like that, and God gave her, it's a supernatural thing. It's a supernatural thing. You can't do it on your own. When someone has caused you great stress, great trauma, you know, whatever. But see, this is what God says right here. This is what he wants you to do, man. He's not going to ask you to do something and not equip you to do it. Luke 6:35. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying we can do all things through Christ. That's true. That's very true. Luke 6:35. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Here's that harvest again. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High. So if I do these good things, is that going to make me a Christian? Is that going to make me a son of the Most High? No, what's going on here is because I am a daughter or a son of the Most High, because I have received that precious gift of salvation, because I've been bought with the blood of the Lamb, because I'm a Christian person now, which Jesus did all the hard work for that. He did all the hard work for that. I just had to accept what he did for me. But because he did this for me, and he says, now that you are forgiven, and now that you got eternal life ahead, which is a really long time, you know, and you get to spend eternity growing in relationship with the Lord, since you've got all these things going on, I want you to do some things for me. I want you to do good for yourself. What I mean by that is I want you to become more spiritual mature. I want you to make the good decisions pertaining to your own life, and I want you to be a blessing. I want you to do good for other people. He says, even the people that have been nasty and rotten and talk trash about you. Look, are you sure? Yeah, man, look, Luke 6:35. This ain't the only place you're going to find it either. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. There's that harvest. Do it. You will reap a huge harvest. Okay, and your reward will be great. Now look at this right here. And you'll be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Is that true talking about God? Talking about God, is this true? For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Is that a true statement? It's absolutely 100% true. And we have been ungrateful. I can't speak for you guys, but I know that I have been ungrateful in times. But you know, when we expect God to do something a certain way, and he says, you know what, Paulie? You know what, Paul? I'm going to do it this way because this is actually better for you. You might not see it now, but this is the right thing to do, okay? And then we can have our little temper tantrums. And I'm not saying we don't have real problems and stuff like that, but I'm saying sometimes we can be kind of ungrateful with God's provision. Like the children of Israel, remember the story, the children of Israel who were being fed by manna. God was supernaturally providing for them the sustenance that they needed to have the strength that they needed. And they begin to grumble and complain and gripe. No, I want fish. I want leeks. I want garlic. I want this. I want that. I want it to be like the old days. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you'll be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. If he wasn't kind, if God wasn't kind to the evil, would he extend his hand of forgiveness to us? See, he is so good to us. And he says, you take this goodness and let this energize you to go back out there and be good to people, not just the folks that are easy to be good to, but the ones that are kind of rotten, you know, the ones that kind of, you know, the ones you kind of see, and you're like, I think, no, I'm going to go this way. You know, God says, no, don't do that. Go be a blessing. Let's go to the next slide. Is everybody doing all right? Amen to that. So here's the deal. We got these three groups or these three categories or these three tributaries. We got do good for myself, do the right thing. Do good for everyone. And then God says this right here. Let me read our main verse again. I'm going to turn to it real fast. You guys just stay where you're at. Think about whatever you're thinking about. No, don't think about whatever you're thinking about. Get with me for the last 5 minutes and let's do this together. So then, as we have opportunity, So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So when we think about a household, we think about a family, okay? So God is saying you're part of a family, not just the family that you were born into, not just the family that you were born into, but since you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've been adopted into God's family. We are now, if you're a Christian, we are now connected by blood. What are you talking about, connected by blood? I'm talking about the blood of Jesus connects us all now. We're in the same family. And that's the point. That's the point that the Holy Spirit is trying to make. The household of God, the household of believers, the household of faith. These people are your family. Well, no, those guys are Methodists and I'm Protestant, I'm Presbyterian, and these guys are Catholic. Listen, we're a family, okay? We are in a family. We are in this precious family. And God says this, don't neglect your family. As you're doing good, especially do good for your brothers and sisters in Christ. They are your family. So I'm not just going to look for opportunities to be a blessing to others, but I'm going to look for opportunities to be a blessing to those that are also believers just like me, because we are connected. We are a family. Okay, it's like this, man. You got two needs. Here's two needs, and they're both real needs, but you can only tackle one right now. Okay, and then here's my blood brother, and here's some guy I don't know. Well, naturally, you're going to be drawn to wanting to help your brother out. Okay, well, God says, look, okay, we want you to do good to everybody, but look, especially to fellow believers, do good, encourage them, sow into their lives. Pray for them. John 15 and 35. Now let's do John 15 and verse 12. This is Jesus Christ talking to his disciples right before the crucifixion. Not long before he's going to have to lay down his life for humanity. John 15 and verse 12. This is my commandment. So when we hear the word commandment, let's think of command, no order. Something that God says, I really want you guys to take serious, you know? This is my commandment, that you love one another. What? So this is talking about loving my brothers and sisters in Christ. And he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So that's reaching for the stars right there, isn't it? He's saying, look, the template for you to follow is Jesus Christ. The template for you to follow is himself. He's telling his disciples, I want you guys, instead of bickering and arguing about who's the greatest, who's the best, who's gonna get this place, who's gonna do this, who's gonna do that, instead of doing all that nonsense, I want you to love one another like I love you. He's talking about devotion, a sacrificial love, putting their needs even before yours, man. See, that's what God wants us to do. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? John 15, 35. By this, if this isn't on your slide, I don't know what happened there, but you guys know it. Or you can scratch it into the cushion in front of you. John 15, 35. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples. So there's something, there's supposed to be some evidence, some fruit in our life that the outsider or the unchurched or the unbeliever should be able to see when they see Christians, when they see people that believe, people that follow Christ. They should see this right here. There should be some evidence. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And so often, I would imagine that the unbeliever, the unsaved person, the person that's like, I don't know, I don't want anything to do with that Christian hubbub, hocus pocus. I don't want anything to do with that. Those guys are nutty. But not only are they nutty, they seem to be cannibalistic. They seem to eat up one another, you know, like, oh man, those Methodists, the Protestants. Okay, so here's the deal, man. God said, when the outsider sees you, they should say, those guys are really there for one another. They really love one another. And it's because our God has been good to us and he loves us. He loves us and he says, now you take that love and you give it to other people. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. And we're going to wrap it up with this. Hebrews 6 and verse 10. For God is not unjust. You ever think about that? Man, his ways are above our ways. His ways are higher than the heavens are from the earth. So we don't always understand the things he does. But God is a God of justice. God is just. God is a God of justice so much, he said, somebody has got to pay for these sins that you guys are committing. Somebody's got to settle this debt. But he loves us so much, he sent Jesus to pay for our sin debt. So we say, man, you know, you Christian guys, y'all are crazy, y'all are nutty. I would not follow a God. I would not devote myself to a God that would send somebody to hell. You know, well, okay, so here's the simple yet painful fact of the matter is he doesn't send us to hell. He sent his son to pay. He sent his son, because of justice, he sent his son to pay for the sins of all humanity. And he said, it is so easy. All you have to do, my son did the hard part. My son did the suffering. My son went through all this so that you can be forgiven. All you have to do is say, I'm a sinner and I can't do it on my own. And I ask Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. So that's all you got to do. God is not sending us to hell. We're saying, I'll do it on my own. I don't need that gift. I don't want that gift. I'll do it on my own. And so what you've just done is you just slapped the creator of the universe in the face. Say, I don't need that. I'm going to do it on my own. Well, that's a problem because you can't get there on your own. You know, there's only one way to the Father. There's only one way to eternal life, and that's through Jesus Christ. That is right. Blessed Trinity. Hebrews 6, verse 10. For God is not unjust. Remember, he's a God of justice. So when I decide that I'm going to do good, even to that person who has wronged me, who has hurt me, I'm not discounting that or saying that didn't happen. But when I choose to do good, God says, okay, I'm a God of justice. I'll settle the scores. I'll take this person behind the woodshed just like I'll take you behind the woodshed if I got to. You can rest assured, I'm going to take care of business. Your job is to just do good. Just trust in God and do good, be good, and you're going to reap a harvest. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work. God sees what you're doing. God sees the sacrifices that you have made to do good. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints. God says, I see what you're doing. I see the good that you're trying to do to other believers, for other believers, and I'm going to pay you back for it. You have shown for his name in serving the saints. Well, who's saints? Ain't you got to do like miracles and stuff to be a saint or something like that? Get a statue? No, man. No, that's not how that works. To be a saint, you accept that gift I'm talking about. So if you've accepted Christ, you're a saint. That's just what that's talking about. You're a saint. Okay. For his name is, now let me just read this one more time. You guys ain't got nothing else to do. No, actually, Paul, that line at Morrison's ain't going to get smaller. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. So the author of Hebrews saying, just keep doing good. Keep doing good. God notices. God's taking it down. God's got his notes, and he's going to bless you. And don't grow weary in doing good. Don't give up. Keep doing it. When you get weary, get into the Word of God. Let it strengthen you. And remember what Jesus Christ said to his disciples. He said, pray that you don't enter into temptation, or pray that you don't give into temptation. We get strength for the journey, we get strength for the mission, by running into the arms of the Lord and hanging out with him. He gives us what we need. And so this is important to the Lord, so it needs to be important to us, right? I think it was Daniel Boone. I get Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett mixed up because of those shows, man, you know, when we were kids. But I believe it was Daniel Boone that said that he wants to leave everybody better than when he first got there. So he wants people to be better off. He runs into somebody and he talks to him for a few minutes. He wants them to be better off than when he first got there. So you know what he would do? If memory serves correct, he would give each person a chaw of tobacco and a sip of whiskey. So we have prepared some kits. We've prepared some kits for you to take out and be. No, I'm playing. But I did think that was kind of funny. But whatever. God is good, right? Okay. Listen, guys. There's something really amazing going on tonight at the church at 5 p.m. There, the Dalton Lewis family's got dinner. It's completely free.